All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 12, please. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And we're going to conclude the series that we've been on for the last 5 weeks. Today is the fifth week that I entitled Dangerous Living. How many of y'all have enjoyed kind of the little bit of meddling I've been doing?
I don't think.
Only Terry enjoys me getting up in his grill. But that's right. But anyway, we're going to conclude it. I hate to see it come to an end, but we've got other fun stuff to deal with in the next several weeks. Really good stuff from God's Word. We will bring an end to this series. We said that the word dysfunction, we use that in our vocabulary on a daily basis. Maybe not daily, but on a regular basis. It's not far from the media or from certain articles that we see in newspapers, on social media, that we read about dysfunction. And how a dysfunctional family operates and such. Well, we said that the word dysfunction simply means dangerous living, that we're living dangerously, and the repercussions that come with that. And we're going to see some of that yet still again a little bit this morning, but we're gonna bring kind of an end to it and provide God's answer for this. If you're in 2 Samuel chapter 12, I want to read one verse of scripture, and in fact, Laura, would you mind? Thank you, Miss Laura. You're great. I had Laura put up the scripture out of the New King James Version because the NIV, the NLT, other translations read differently, and I read out of the New King James Version. Why do I do that? Because it's been translated word for word. The NIV has been translated thought for thought. Other more modern translations have been translated thought for thought, not word for word. So given the scriptures up, let's just read it. I'll read it, but we can look up at the screen. However, this is Nathan the prophet confronting David, okay, after Bathsheba and Uriah. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. And I want to emphasize the words, David, you have given great occasion to the enemies. You have given great occasion to the enemies. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for this time together around your word. We exalt you. We exalt the teaching of your word here at this church, and I know you honor it, Lord. This is your word. This is not our word. And we bring glory to it, and we bring glory to you. Father, help us by your Holy Spirit to give us insight and understanding and to apply this message in perhaps in any area of our lives, Lord, that we see there be a fit, and help us, Lord. Lead us in the way of everlasting. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Several years ago and a couple of pastorates ago, we lived in a certain town where there was kind of it was a crossroads of two major highways that go from north to south in North America. Well, I should say in America, and from east to west as well. And we had lived there for a couple of years. And sometimes because it was a crossroads, it drew some unsavory kind of passerby, hitchhikers, and people of the such. And I remember one night, you know, we were all asleep, and the doorbell rang at about 1:30 in the morning, and I was startled, and I got up, and I'm half asleep. You know, how many of y'all have ever been in that half stupor? And I opened the door, and there's this guy, and he's high on something, and I'm still trying to discern whether this is real or if it's a dream. And he was there, and he was talking mumbling some kind of gibberish. And I said, "Sorry, sir, I can't help you." Close the door, you know, went back to sleep. Later on, a couple days, probably about the same time, probably a little later this time, it's about 2:30 a.m. Same guy rings the doorbell. I open it up, and this time I'm prepared. I said, "Get out of my door or I'm calling the cops." And then I slammed the door on him, and I did call the cops, and the cops showed up, arrested him. He said, the police officer told me, he said, you make the right decision because this guy has been reported before, and he's going house to house, and he's just, he's on some sort of drug right now. He's high, and confirmed my kind of worst suspicions. But to me, church family, listen, that illustrates to me what can happen with dangerous living, and that is you're going to have the enemy knocking on your door regularly, and it comes a point where we have to, and this is the subtitle of the message, we have to slam the door on the devil.
Amen.
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 Now, what if I allowed that dude to keep coming as often as he wanted, as frequently as he wanted, in the middle of the night, any time of the night that he wanted? What would that have done to me? What kind of risks or dangers would that have posed for my family? Great risk, right? But I wonder how many people would not tolerate that, but they tolerate the devil knocking on their door regularly and them opening the door and just letting him waltz into the house of their lives, and wreak havoc as the devil wishes. Slam the door on the devil. That's the subtitle. Let's talk about it. Slam the door on the devil. Listen to what the prophet said. You have given the enemies, your enemies, David, the enemies of God, great occasion. Now, the context there was to blaspheme. But how many of y'all know that when we live dangerously, we are opening the door, we are laying the welcome mat out to the devil?
Amen.
Right? Dangerous living is not without consequence, church family. We live dangerously. We start inviting the enemy to come into our families, to come into our lives, and to do the enemy, for allowing the enemy to do as he wills in our lives. So I want to talk about this this morning, how to slam the door on the devil. Because with dangerous living comes dysfunction. With dysfunction comes, listen carefully, comes destruction. Dangerous living leads to destruction in some way, form, or fashion in our lives. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes not before to steal, to kill, and to what? Destroy. I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. What a sharp contrast. Who wants life and life more abundantly? Right? Let me say here, dangerous living is not going to get you life and life more abundantly. It'll promise you that, but it'll get you the previous one. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So let's talk about this concept of slamming the door on the devil like I did on that dude, because I had had it the second time. That was it. I'm done. You're not going to keep knocking on my door, buddy boy, and you're not going to disrupt the peace in my house. Right? But I wonder how many of us allowed the devil to disrupt the peace in our homes? Listen, church family, I'm going to submit a thought to you. The more we continue to live dangerously, the more we are going to attract people who live dangerously as well. You know, it's uncanny. In my 53, I turned 54 in April. It's going to be Easter Sunday. Just pray about it. Starbucks cards are not expensive, right, Lyle? That's right. In my 54 years of living, astounds me how like attracts like. If I am jacked up on the inside, I'm going to attract jacked up people to my life. Amen? And if I'm whole on the inside, I'm going to attract whole people to me. The jacked up people won't see me as attractive or as worth having a relationship with. The whole people will. Okay? So keep that in mind. We attract who we are. And if you're attracting the wrong people, then ask yourself this question: do I need to slam the door on the devil? and change my course to a more healthy living. Right? Okay, so I have 4 points real quick. Point number one on how to slam the door on the devil. Number one, listen, church family, Haggai chapter 1, verse 5, the prophet Haggai, we won't look at it, we won't turn there necessarily, but I want you to write down, if you're taking notes, write this down. This is all, this thought, since I learned it back when I was in my early 20s, always has come to my mind when I spotted out dangerous living in areas of my life, and I've always rehearsed the words of the prophet in my mind, and he says this: consider your ways. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Whereas Dr. Phil says so eloquently, how's this working for you? I like Texans. They just cut through the chase. How's it working for you? Well, it's not working. Well, isn't it time to change? Now, why is that important to your family? Listen to me, because we have a knack to deflect to other people. Some of the most judgmental people I have found are very miserable people, but they can't stand their own misery, so they deflect. They look at other people. Don't shout me down, because I'm preaching pretty good. Right? It's, you know, we're not going to look at me. Let's look at you. You have this problem. You have that problem. I'm thinking, yo, baby, that's a pot calling the kettle black. Right? You know, Socrates had a very profound saying, the unexamined life is not worth living. Consider your ways. Shouldn't we be examining our lives and asking ourselves, do I like the kind of fruit that my life is bearing? And if I don't like the fruit that my life is bearing, if I don't like the people that I'm attracting, shouldn't I change? Don't I need to look at me? You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul the Apostle said, test yourself to see whether you're in the faith. I'm not saying that I want you to question your devotion to Christ. But church family, maybe we need to look at some areas in our lives. I'm doing this in my life. You know, this series has been beneficial to me. I don't just talk to you. I talk to me too. Right? I don't take an attitude of, well, I'm just going to preach and let the chips fall. No, because those chips are going to fall on me. But I've had to look at my life, and I've had to say, okay, with these people that are kind of hovering on the fringes, that nobody here, you guys are cream of the crop. But with these other people, these little vultures trying to swirl around looking for dead aspects on the road of my life, then how do I need to deal with them? Do I need to deal with them more sternly? Do I need to ignore them? Do I need to tune them out? Do I need to quit hanging around them? Come on, somebody. Not just applies to me, it also applies to all of us. Right? How many of y'all know that bad company corrupts good morals? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I took Kelly out to see one of her favorite bands. She was shocked that this worldwide band was going to be in Peoria in a small venue. And so that was my Valentine's Day gift to her. One of the opening bands, their name was Mixed Company. You know, it doesn't have to be bad company. How many of y'all know it can be just mixed company? You know what I mean by mixed company? What light hath fellowship with darkness? Can a believer hitch up with an unbeliever in a romantic relationship? Should they? No. Listen, church family, so we need to consider our ways. Ask yourself, is this working for me? And if it's not working for me, what changes do I need to make? You know, I have a friend of mine that was in a car accident recently and totaled the vehicle. And this person's lucky to be alive. And they went to social media and they posted something like, "The devil almost took me out last night." I'm thinking, you're deflecting. How many of y'all remember Flip Wilson? "The devil made me do it." So, you know, we say the devil made me do it. He's a convenient scapegoat because we don't want to look at ourselves. The fact is, she was speeding and ended up in a ditch and even cussed out the cop. People deflect. Bottom line, we need to own our ways. To change your ways, you first have to own your ways. Can I get a witness, please, in the house? Point number two. Point number one is consider your ways. Point number two, John chapter 5, verse 6, I'm going to quote to you the words of Jesus to this man. Do you want to be made well? Ask yourself, do you want to be made well? How many of us know, church family, that Jesus is the healer? He is the master of wholeness in our lives. But just because Jesus offers something, he does not assume that you want it. Just because Jesus offers something, he does not assume that you want it. That's why he has to ask us, do you want to be made well? You know, church family, I'm going to say it this way. Change is painful. How many of y'all have found that change in your life is painful? You know, that's why we try to change others, because it's a lot easier to change or try, or we say to ourselves, easier to change them than it is to change me. Who's found that out? How many of y'all can say amen? Amen, Pastor Joe, change is painful. And people will not change until the pain to remain the same outweighs the pain to change. That's pretty profound. Do you want to change? Oh, I want to change. Bless the Lord, I want to change. Yes, Brother Scott shared a great verse, great lesson this morning, in fact, in Sunday school class, about we are being transformed into the likeness of his image. Well, you know, that sounds beautiful and flowery, but the brass tacks of that, it involves change, and how many of y'all know change is painful? Ouch! The other side of the beautiful aspect of that verse is ouch! 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are being transformed into the likeness of his image. Well, praise the Lord, that's a beautiful part, but the other part is, ouch! But people will not change until the pain to remain the same outweighs the pain to change. You know, the Bible talks about a story about some lepers at the gates of Samaria, and there was a widespread famine. And I can't remember what army had possession of the camps. And these lepers were like, you know, why are we sitting here until we die? If we do nothing, we're going to die. Some leper came up with a brilliant idea. He must have been related to you, Gene. He said, why don't we go in and surrender to the armies in the camp? Maybe they'll take mercy on us, have mercy on us, and they'll feed us. And we won't have to starve. And so to them, that became a better prospect than doing nothing and dying. Right? The pain to remain the same has got to outweigh the pain to change. They got up. The Lord multiplied their steps, made it sound like an army that was coming, thousands of horses and chariots and armed men. And so it scared the troops away from the camp. And these lepers feasted for days. Had their fill of gold, silver, food, the best pleasantry. What's the moral of that story? Church family, the pain to remain the same has got to outweigh the pain to change. There's another Old Testament story. How about in Exodus chapter 8, when Moses goes to Pharaoh and he said, look, buddy, I can give the Lord the command and he will get rid of all these frogs for you. Remember that? They were everywhere, in beds, on their kitchen table, their dinner table. Awful. Who wants to live with frogs? The stench of frogs. You know, sometimes I can tell when it's raining because I'm like, it smells like dead carp. Maybe it was ADM or something. Some sort of, or it smells like frogs. I'm like, ew, gross. It's daily. Thank you, sir. And Pharaoh said, I appreciate that. He said, contact me tomorrow. So you're willing to spend another night with the frogs. Right? And all the while, Jesus is asking you, do you want to be made well? You don't have to live like this. You don't have to live a crazy life. You don't have to keep living a dangerous life. You can do away with the frogs. Point number three. Point number one, consider your ways. Point number two, do you want to be made well? Point number three, shut the front door. You know when you say something outlandish and somebody will reply with, shut the front door. The ladies always do that. Shut the front door. You know what, your family? You have within you the power to stop this cycle. I fear that some people have been victimized so much that they feel they are helpless victims and that they don't have any power over this. You have all the power over this. We can decide today that this is the end of frogs for me. That this is the end of a famine for me. That this is the end of dangerous living for me. Amen? You have that power. We can shut the front door. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, please. So far, so good, everybody. We're almost done. Verse 27. Notice verse 27 of Ephesians 4. Nor give place to the devil. What's that saying? Shut the front door. Don't give place to the devil. Notice the next verse. Let him who stole no longer. Now, in context, that's talking about believers that used to steal there. Kleptos. That used to steal. But we can use that same phrase for the devil, right? Let him, the enemy, who stole no longer. Are we going to let the enemy keep stealing our peace of mind? Are we going to let the enemy keep stealing our morals, our convictions, our beliefs, our purity? Oh. You know what I found, church family? People who live dangerously, they negotiate convictions. Right? As there's an old line in the 80s Batman movie with Michael Keaton. Have you ever danced with a devil under a pale moonlight? A lot of believers sure like to dance with the devil under a pale moonlight. And it's there. They negotiate convictions. They negotiate purity. Situational morality. Let him who stole steal no longer. Give no place to the devil. Finally, go with me to James. We're closing. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 7. Notice, I love this. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Submit yourselves to God. You know, I found, church family, trust me, when I was new to this stuff, I tried to fight the devil on my own. By sheer willpower. How many of y'all know the devil's been around a lot longer than you have? And he'll be around a lot longer after you die. He will outlast you. Your willpower cannot withstand his onslaughts. We must first, listen carefully, submit ourselves to God. and then we'll be able to resist the devil, and then he will flee from us. You know, in the interest of disclosure, there have been times in my resisting temptation to some. This is the verse that always came to my mind. Joe, this pressure on you right now to cave in will not always be on you. The devil will flee from you if you keep resisting. Right? That's been of comfort to me. This pressure will not always be on me. Submit to God, and the devil must flee. Amen. How many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the word this morning? Amen. Bless the Lord. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.